ladies and gentlemen and others of Gay Waves, I am going to try my hardest not to fangirl, but I have to admit this lady has been on my playlists longer than some of you have been alive and legal, or both. So long before drag queens dominated the media, long before gender bending, before punk, before Stonewall, there was Jane County. From the 50s to the 90s, and well, it's 2022 and this girl is still rocking. She is the most extreme performer to ever hit the stage. She's worked with Bowie, she's worked with David Jarman, she's played with Warhol. She's a singer, an actress, a playwright, a painter, a cat mother, the world's original rock and roll transgender superstar. Thank you, Jane County, and welcome to Gay Waves. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for that incredible introduction. That
Oh,
was
like
great.
I said, fangirling.
That's great.
So you were raised in a pretty Southern Methodist church, not the most free-thinking environment in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up?
The best thing about being a Methodist was that thank God I wasn't a Baptist, you know. And but Methodists, they were a little, they weren't as bad about harassing you about what you're doing and what you're wearing and everything. The Methodists were a lot lighter, better than that. The Baptists could be really nasty. And it was a very conservative background, and I, of course, stuck out like a sore thumb wherever I went. Even as a little child, I just wherever I went, I'd walk into a room and I'd just change the atmosphere. I could feel everything changing when I'd walk into a room. It'd be like, the different reactions and all. But I was just a little kid, but I still, honey, I still shone like, I lit up. You get what I'm saying? I lit up. I used to pull baby carriages across the street. I'd push them across the street. They could see me coming. I have my little carriages with dolls in it and everything. I push them across the street. So, like sometimes I'd have trouble getting it up on something. Someone would get out of the car or whatever and help me get the buggy up, stuff like that. It was just, I was kind of a, people were kind of used to seeing me with my dolls. Yeah, so it was, and I didn't think anything about it. I didn't know anything like what was liberal or conservative or whatever or political, anything political. I just knew. I was just going about being me and doing what I like to do, really.
That's how it should be. Did you get picked on a lot as a child?
Well, actually, it's very surprising when I tell people I actually didn't get picked on that much. I did. There were some incidences, and they weren't that bad. But I didn't have this life where I was just picked on all the time. I don't know. I don't know if it was my angel coming from somewhere saving me or whether I was just lucky. I don't know. But see, people didn't know as much as people know now. And the more people can know about you, the more they've got to pick on you for. If they don't know what's going on with you, or they don't have a label to put you under, or they haven't heard someone else say something about you bad, or whatever, they're perfectly okay. That's the way it happens. And so, I got by like that, I mean, every once in a while there'd be an incident like I was walking down the street and I had been one of the first people in line to get my Beatles album. This was in 64, I was a late teenager. And I was walking down the street with my album and somebody rolled down the window of the car and said, "Now who the fuck are you, Ringo?" Just stuff like that. And but I had some really good instances in school too, where some of the boys sometimes would carry my books for me, but they reacted to my femininity, but reacted in that way instead of saying, "Oh, fuck you little sissy," or whatever. I never even got that either. So people, and my father and mother were kind of known around the town, and my father was kind of known, and we did go to the first Methodist church in town. So people, I think they probably knew to kind of lay off me as well. But when I would talk, sometimes people would start to giggle and laugh. But I sounded like a girl when I talked, and it's like, it's when they, I used to hate being picked to read in class because we'd have days where it'd be history or whatever, and you go down the line of the rows, and your turn to read a paragraph. And I used to really just dread that so much. I reread the paragraph before, and how was I going to say it, and did I know this word, or how am I going to sound, you know? And of course, I got to the word, and I start reading, and I hear people giggle or laugh. You know, that's Wayne. It sounds like a little girl when he reads, you know. And they at one we had to read a verse in the Bible. Around this is in the early 60s, before they brought in the law that you couldn't have religion in school. We would have to pick our own verse to read in the Bible. We got to pick our own verse. But then, being if I got to pick my own verse to read, they got over that very quick,
What
because
was the
I would pick the most horrible verses to read. You know, I just would pick these verses where people were getting murdered and slaughtered and kidnapped and raped and everything, which I was full of. And they didn't like that. They wanted me to pick the verses where that were like, oh, let's love each other and let's do this and let's do that, and we'll wash each other's feet, and we'll eat figs and things like this. I would say, and Jehovah commanded Joshua to go into the tent of the Canaanite and slaughter the man, the women, and kill all the children. And the teachers feel like that.
I can see where your playwriting comes from.
Yeah, that's right. One of my earliest classes.
What age were you when you moved to New York and started writing?
Gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was so thirsty. Well,
Okay,
what now?
swallow
I
first.
moved to New York. Well, I didn't get to New York until I was about nine. Yeah, I got to New York at 19, age 19. But I wrote little things that in Atlanta, when I was hanging out in Atlanta, I wrote things, and I did some shows in Atlanta at a place called the Catacombs. It was a hippie hangout, but it accepted everybody. There were gay people there. They were hippies. They were all sorts of outcasts. It's just an outcast bar, and people would go in there, and I would go in there and do things like bring. I remember selling this girl a hairpiece. It was a big blonde hairpiece, and you pin it on the back, and it'd come down like that. You know, those were very popular in the 60s. You know, but you're gonna have to direct me by going around to re-reminding me what the question was, because I have a tendency
Absolutely.
to have a
And I'm
tendency.
in loving every minute of it because I'm just fangirling completely. So you wrote plays in the early 60s, late 70s. Is that where you met Andy Warhol and all of his crew?
That where I want Andy Warhol and what?
You played, partied with Andy Warhol?
Well, I was hanging out with Warhol superstar Jackie Curtis and Rita Redd, and hanging out with a playwright called Tony Ingrassia, who used to be in the Theater of the Ridiculous, where he had his own playwright company. And we did Jackie Curtis's Femme Fatale, and we played that. We ran with that in one of the underground theatrical productions. And I wrote my own play. I had written this play called World, The Birth of a Nation, The Castration of Man. Sounds very like Cecil B. DeMille's Beyond, Cecil B. DeMille. And he liked the play, and he said, we're gonna do your play. I was thrilled to death. Oh my God, my play's actually gonna be done on one of the stages of New York City. Even if it's the East Side, way down, I'm still on stage, you know. And so we did this play, and my opening lines to New York City theater was being on stage, and my opening line was where I'd reach up under my dress, and there's a rubber band, and there's this plastic shit under that. So I'd reach under that and pull the shit out and go, oh my, good golly, Miss Molly, you scared the shit out of me. That was good. That could take that. That's the tone of the play. If we tried to do it now, we'd probably be arrested. We had John Wayne giving birth to a baby while doing paupers. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was like unbelievably just. insane. It was just, and it was one thing after the other. People were like, bong, 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 like that. You know, we was my idea. I like shocking people when I was a little kid. You know, I like shocking the adults. So I never grew out of that thing about shocking people. I really get just in a tither about shocking people. I love to not to push someone out of their traditional the feeling they have, traditional feeling they have about things around in the world around them. I like to remind, knock on the door. I like to remind them that they may not be discovering everything that they thought was there, you know.
Yeah, the comfort zone is highly overrated anyway.
That's right. That's a good one. I like that, the comfort zone. I love to pull at the comfort zone, make them very uncomfortable.
That's what it's all about, and that's why we love you. So,
No, thank you.
in the early days, you hung out at the Stonewall Hotel as well, I believe. Were you part of the rioting?
Was I proud of it? Well, I was.
Part of it, yeah.
Part of it. Oh,
Well,
yes, I was part of it. I was on my way to the Stonewall, and the riot had already started, and so I jumped right in and went over and I said, "What's going on?" You know, and somebody said, "Well, they, you know, they did this and they did that and everything." And was sick and tired of it, and I said, "Well, yeah." And so I marched up and down the streets with them, shouting, "Gay power, gay power!" The fist in the air, because, well, that's what you did. That's just what you did. And so but the thing going was that everyone seemed to be getting their rights and be getting what's due to them. You know, everyone was like people. There were marches about everything, you know, and but gay people didn't have any marches. Gay people weren't getting anything. Everything was stale, and we weren't moving. We were just in one place. And so, if everyone else is getting all their rights and all these things happening for them, why shouldn't the gay people too? You know, why shouldn't gay, straight, bi, trans, whatever you are, why shouldn't that group of people be getting their rights, so to speak? So I knew that when the riots were going on, I knew it was special. It was a special night, and that people, I was thinking about how people would perceive it the next day in the newspaper and things like that, you know. And it did, it made the newspapers and everything. And I was quite proud of it. I kind of knew in the back of my head that one day in the future it would be written about. It's a part of history, though. I really do. I'm a history fan. I'm a history buff. I love history, so I kind of look at everything in a historical way, you know.
And it's great to be part of history.
That
But
was a good,
part of
yeah.
your great history, of course, is your music, which is another reason we're here. And
Yeah.
you started life, well, you started your bands as Wayne County, and you crossed over. I'm not sure what word we're allowed to use anymore. You crossed over and became Jane County. So in the early days, it was Wayne and the Electric Chairs, then Jane. So how did that happen? How did you feel about that? What made you decide, yeah, Jane is who I am?
But as I started to get more and more feminine, and my body began to change, make changes, it became kind of odd to call me Wayne. Wayne was considered basically a real butch name, you know. Wayne, hey Wayne, what's going on? It was considered, you know, and it was kind of odd. And I was in a bar in London, and this a trans which drag queen, transgender, I don't know. I didn't ask her. You don't ask people, do you?
Just
Anyway,
human.
yeah. She said, "We can't call her Wayne. There's no way we can call her Wayne. Look at her, you know." And she said, "We'll call you Jane. We don't know, you know, you don't know what you want to be called yet." And I go, "No, I'm thinking of this name and that name and that name." And she said, "Well, we're going to call you Jane until you make up your mind." So Jane kind of stuck. And I played CBGBs, I had posters all over town, and it said Wayne County, and the W was etched out, and J was drawn in. That was my poster. I thought that was very clever. So it's got Jane County appearing at CBGBs, and that was my first gig as Jane County. And this was in, I'm bad at the years. This was CBGB's in 680, no, 70, mid 70 CBGB's.
What was your favorite song from your
My
band? Any of them?
favorite song,
Yeah, from any of your albums.
a repertoire, a repertoire.
Your repertoire.
The song that I like doing, well, I like doing "If You Don't Want to Fuck Me, Baby, Fuck Off," because I knew that people came to hear that, and people that hadn't heard it was kind of shocking for people who had never heard it, the song. You know, I mean, nobody had ever done a song like "If You Don't Want to Fuck Me, Baby, Fuck Off." I don't think anyone. I can't think of anyone who did a song like that. And I enjoyed doing that song, but I really enjoyed doing "Man Enough to Be a Woman" too, because it was kind of let people know what's going on gender-wise. And oh gosh, I can't. My favorite song. That's really hard to come up with my favorite. It would have to be between "If You Don't Want to Fuck Me, Fuck Off" or "Man Enough to Be a Woman." It would have to be either one of those songs, I think. Oh, but "Cream in My Jeans" I enjoyed because "Cream in My Jeans," I wrote that after hearing a gospel song. The woman is a black gospel singer. She was singing "I'm Waiting on You, Jesus" in the midnight hour. I just said, "If you make me cream in my jeans." I left that midnight hour. That would have been funny though. "You make me cream in my jeans in the midnight hour, hallelujah." So but anyway, I got the idea and the tune and everything to write "Cream in My Jeans." So I enjoyed that too. But I'd say that was it really. The other songs were like I had done over and over and over and over and over and over again. So I got kind of jaded about them. "Bad in Bed" was done really a lot. I did that a lot, and but some of the newer songs, the newer covers, I enjoy doing. I liked it too. I loved covering the Electric Prunes record. "I Had Too Much to Dream" last night. I do a cover of that, and that came out really well. And so that was probably be one of my favorite songs to do that one. "You Make." "I Had Too Much to Dream" last night. I always thought that was clever. Too much to dream, you know. I wonder why. And if you have too much to drink, you're drunker, or you drunk too much. How would you say, "I had too much to dream"? You dream too much. You drunk dream. You. It's very odd.
Sounds like they just took too many drugs. That's what dreaming
Many grams. Well, I think that's one of my favorite songs to do because it was one had been always one of my favorite songs anyway. So it's fun to do a song that you've always loved that's not yours. It's just really fun to do it and to give your interpretation of that song. That's why covers are so fun to do. You can interpret someone else's work.
Do it so well. Who are your biggest musical influences? Gospel, you've mentioned. You're a punk goddess and a rock and roll goddess. Gospel
Well,
seems a strange fallback somehow.
all rock and roll really was a big influence with me. I can't really pinpoint. One of my biggest influence was which you really couldn't tell that much in a lot of my material, I guess. But I guess you could. I haven't thought about it. But anyway, I think that the 60s psychedelic garage era is one of my favorites, and that influenced me a lot, like the Count Five, Psychotic Reaction, and the Cramps did a lot of oldies too that I liked a lot. He was like, and I loved all that whole era of music, of kids just going into the garage and rehearsing and coming out with "Liar Liar," and coming out with all these fantastic songs just by going in there and recording them, and probably they came out better than they probably thought that they were going to, But there's something about just a bunch of kids going into the garage and just coming up with songs and the music was great. It's very simple, but that's what made it great. It was so simple, Sometimes they would hit a beat, and the beat would be the whole song. They start from finish, it would be like the beat would hardly change, and they would add on to the beat and add on to the music. Now, I really like that. I like that form of music. I don't like the to me the music too much is complicated. It loses its I don't know, it loses something. You get lost in it. I don't think rock and roll was meant to be classical music, although I like classical music. But rock and roll is not classical music, it's rock and roll.
Rock and roll is the classical music 100 years from now.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Exactly.
Speaking of classical music, Jubilee with Adamant, Toya, Jordan. That's a movie. It was fantastic. Tell me about that.
The best thing about that, I don't want to sound too jaded, but the best thing about that, I got paid twice.
That helps.
And during the early punk days, which we were on the road, we were sleeping on people's floors and everything. We really needed that money, and so I got paid twice. They paid me after they shot the scene, studio, and then they came. There was a knock on my door one day, and it was somebody saying, "I've come to pay you for being in Jubilee," and I was like, "Well, okay." I wasn't going to say you paid me already. I guess I was being deceitful. I said, okay, if they want to pay me twice, hopefully it's not too close to stealing. But I figured in my mind that since my scene was this, I forgot what the actress's name was. She almost pulled my teeth out of my head with that microphone. She was really doing that for real.
Wow.
It's hurting, yeah. And I was getting ready to reach up and hold her hand, take her hand and say, "Stop it! What the fuck's wrong with you?" She had that microphone in my mouth, and it was really beginning to hurt my teeth. And she's moving it around in my mouth, and that was
Yeah.
really, yeah. That really, I didn't like. I got pissed off at that, really, to tell you the truth.
I thought that scene was just acting, so well done. I would have rammed it elsewhere.
Yes.
Anybody who hasn't seen the movie Jubilee, go get it. Jane Cleese, Lounge Lizard, definitely worth the watch. And yeah, I think you'll see a lot of society in that one currently. It's getting that far.
I've seen the movie from start to finish, and not to sound too jaded again, my appearance is kind of the most up thing happening in the movie. The movie is very artistic. The movie is very almost like watching Shakespeare. Everyone talks to the ceiling. It's like, I think that they're in the future, and they sometime that maybe they should worship, and the queen should go blah blah blah. And while they're looking up at the ceiling, who are they talking to? And I come on going blah blah blah, and singing "Paranoid Paradise" with this feathered cap on and this scary makeup, and it's like all of a sudden it's like boom, it's like the lights went on all of a sudden, very bright, So I'm glad that it came out good. I'm glad my part came out so good.
It came out really good. And apart from your movies and your music, which we all love, and your plays, you're also a writer. You have a book, Man Enough to Be a Woman.
Man enough to be a woman.
Yeah,
Well,
I
that's
had a
good.
copy. Someone nicked it. If anybody out there in Sydney has my copy, it is signed. I want it back.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's re-released. It was released before, and it's been re-released, Man Enough to Be a Woman. And it's we're working on getting the company out in LA. I'm not supposed to talk about it a lot until things are really happening with it. But they are looking for a book deal for me to get a film for
Nice.
the documentary for the movie. That so that'll be the great thing that'll come out of that as well. And yeah, but if people want to go on, it's kind of a fun read, really. It's not a bitter read where I'm just going, oh no, and oh Lord, and oh please, and then this happened, and oh, it's not a moan. It's a very upbeat book, I would say, pretty much.
Upbeat autobiography.
Yeah, but yes, exactly. And go read it, and you can maybe find out a few things. And it is. I'm very happy that it's become a part of history. It's going to become a part of gay history.
I
I won't
did see
say
it on audiobook just recently as well.
only gay history, but I really mean, I don't even know the readout. What is it? Lesbian, gay, bi, T, and there's a bunch of others at the end, so I don't
I
know.
think we've got Q for queer, T for trans, P for pan, sexual, I for intersexual, plus for I haven't made my mind up yet, but I'm in the alphabet.
You know what? I just say gay. I'm not doing it to offend anyone. I'm just say gay because it's just easier on me, for me, easier on my mind to remember that one word.
It's okay. We use the word queer a lot on our show as well. We're old school, very old fashioned.
Thing about the music is people sometimes are shocked to learn that I'm still doing music, and I haven't just given up the music, and I'm still recording and doing things. I'm working with Pam Taylor right now. Pam Taylor, we had I don't fit in anywhere. It did really well, and we've got some new tracks, and we're looking to put them out. They'll be coming out whenever we can get them out. And so, five new tracks, yeah, and they sound great too. I'm really pleased with how they sound. So, working on that as well. And what else are we working on, Amber? We're working on.
We're putting together an EP right now.
We're putting together EP. It's gonna be an EP.
Excellent.
But we're shopping it to a label right now. We can't tell you who, but
We're shopping it to some labels, but right now,
yeah, and then we might do more if they like it too.
yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
The tracks come out really. They just came out so good that I want to watch best for them. They deserve it. They're our work. We created these tracks, and they came out really great. And we're really satisfied and happy with them. And they deserve something good to happen to them.
Yeah, we are going to be going out with I Don't Fit In Anywhere for your closing number. And I love that track. It's brilliant. I've been in many a church that started like that and ended like that.
Yes.
The latest, the guy we just recorded with, his name is Tom Tapley. And he was the assistant of Brendan O'Brien in Atlanta here for like 20 years. And he did a lot of the Stone Temple Pilots records, Incubus, all these 90s bands. So he kind of
Nice.
sound in our new stuff that's coming out.
I cannot wait for that one, and we will be playing it as soon as we get
There'll be a lot of new stuff coming out.
it. Excellent. Will you be touring at all? You're going to come out of retirement, come to Australia, do a show, Sydney Mardi Gras, maybe like that?
It's a possibility. I don't think I think the days of me jumping out of band every night and every day and touring constantly without having sleep and stuff like that, I think those days are gone. But doing some really good gigs and good ones that are done well and aren't insulting to us or the audience, then some great gigs.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. You'd be very welcome in Australia.
I would love to come to Australia. I've always wanted to come to Australia, always, just to have it. It just hasn't happened. But I love Australia. I've always known about Australia, the country, but I really didn't get familiar with Australia until I moved to London. So I began to know more about Australians, and I acquired a few Australian friends, which were great. And of course, I got to know Australia through, roll your eyes and grin it, but it was, neighbors, everybody needs neighbors.
That's all right. They got cancelled last week.
But I became familiar with Australia through that soap opera, really.
I think I had a friend that may have lived near you with on Facebook. We're mutual friends.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, why did they? Oh, what was her name?
I'm not sure what gender she was at the time. Debbie as a girl, Wayne as a boy.
Debs.
Yeah, Deb.
Oh, Debs.
Yeah.
Oh, Debs.
Yeah.
Deborah.
Deborah.
Are you Deborah?
That's the one.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
We used to hang out together all the time down here. That's
That's
how I
great.
heard about you. So Deb's put me onto you. So
Yes,
we
yes.
thank her.
Oh yeah, thank you, Deborah. Thank you. And
Cat
yeah,
goddess is extraordinaire.
I was living in London. One of the places I lived in London was with her and Joe and Dale, and we had a great time. We were a great threesome. Together, we were like the Three Musketeers. We went out together. We just did so much together, And I got to know Debs really well. And I got to know about Australia too. And she tells stories about her friends in Australia and what things they did. Oh, just made me want to go.
Well, you have to come down. You can even crash on my floor if you need to.
Oh, okay. I think my crashing on the floor days are over because of it. I wouldn't be able to get up again. My body is saying, no, you don't go do that anymore. You're not some 22 or 25-year-old. You can't do that anymore. I want the main bed, and I want the main bed. I can have the bed.
We'll see what we can do. You and the cats will have to fight for that one.
At least the couch. Or your cats. If you have a bunch of cats, I'll take them.
Yeah, I've got the A team inside and the B team that live next door, but we feed them. So, and like you have, are you still have the cat home?
Yes, it's 10. It's 10 now. Yeah, this is the cat's house. I live here, but it's really the house. And
Oh, and you sell paintings to help finance them, I believe.
I just some of them were very older cats, I got, and some of them were cats that were unadoptable, that I would take because I didn't want them to go to the pound and be put down. So, but I have 10 cats now. But I started out with, I'm not going to say how many, but I have 10 now I'm taking care of, and so that's better. I think as I'm getting older too, when I start to get even more older, I'm not going to be able to take care of them as much, just because I can't. I'm not going to acquire any new ones that would require me to rehome them, because it breaks my heart too. They're just like real kids, if I have to find them a new home, it just kills me. And when I'm dying, it's just, oh my God, forget
Yeah,
it.
like
That just can't. I can't even begin to tell you how extremely upset I get when one of my babies dies.
it's a horrible thing with but yeah, you never not taking new cats, so that'll happen.
They find me.
So
If
I
I
am,
go looking for the cats, they find me. They see
yeah.
that they come to the yard and go, oh, look, this just looks like a good one. I bet we should get one out of her.
Yeah, they know the good soul, and you have a good soul.
Oh, thank you.
So you have great music, great literature, great soul, great cat, great friends off in the corner. Hi, Amber. And a great sense of patience for someone who got the time zones wrong initially. But, and I do want to thank you because I'm running out of time for this one. But thank you so much for being with me today and agreeing to do this.
You're
And
welcome.
so this is going to go out on Gay Waves, which is the first gay radio station in the world ever.
Really?
1977 we started.
Wow.
I was one of the originals in the early 80s. That's how old I am.
That's amazing.
But they
How
asked me back, the
far
poor
from
bastards.
home?
Thank you so much for your time today. I'm going to let you go and do what well, it's 9 o'clock there, so heading into 10 o'clock. So go to
All right.
bed, get a
All
good
right.
night's sleep.
I have to give the cats their snack first. The late
That
night
too. So thank you
snack.
so much for all of your time today. Yep.
Amber's here. We're going to work on some new material, so that'll be fun. So, goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Amber, for emceeing. And
Thank you. Thanks for having
I look
us.
forward to talking to you again and getting some new music. So thank you. Have a
Right.
great night, ladies.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.